The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Welcome to the AC Podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Andy Steiger.
Terry Crosby.
Terry.
Yes.
Do you have something from the dark corners of the internet? Yeah. I remembered it.
You know I do.
You know I do. I mean, what else does Terry do all day?
I plumb. Okay, this one says, this is interesting. This is...
I'll be the judge of that, Terry.
Interesting and strange. Man spends $50,000 on over 100 procedures to transform into a genderless alien.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that
one. This is true.
This is true.
Hold on a second.
This is not tabloid stuff.
100 surgeries.
100 procedures so far. Yeah.
Do we have a picture of this man?
Yes.
Okay, that's going on show notes.
Yeah.
If that doesn't draw you to show notes, I don't know what will.
He does look freakish.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Marilyn Manson.
Do you have the picture right
bit?
Now?
I do.
I'm going to take a look at this.
Okay. He plans to have his genitals, nipples, and belly button removed next.
Andy's looking at the picture right now.
Yep, I'm disturbed. I'm pretty sure Terry said genitals as well.
I did. Was that going to have to be? You just said it. Yeah, so this is Vinny O. O-H-H.
O-H-H.
Yep. And he lives in Los Angeles. He has over 110 procedures. He wants to get more procedures done. Eventually, this is going to cost about $160,000.
Okay, wow. So here's the part that for me, as soon as you started talking about all this, the first thing that went through my mind wasn't the fact that somebody wanted to look like an alien. It was the fact that this guy's got to have a lot of money. I guess that was the first thing that went through my mind. I mean, that's expensive.
This picture, I mean, he's a makeup artist.
Can you imagine the conversation with your doctor when he comes in? So, what do you want to do? Want to tuck that? Want to nip that away?
Yeah, nah, he said he had conversations
like that. I just
want to
look like an alien.
Yeah, I want to be genderless, he says. And he was still trying to find out how to do this through his doctors, right?
So, a genderless alien.
Genderless alien. He doesn't want to be recognized male or female.
Wow.
Okay, apparently, there's going to be some aliens out there that have just been insulted.
His alien looking has a lot of makeup on it. Don't you think?
I have seen a picture of him, and I have to say, I'm like, okay, he wants to be genderless, and then he's got a lot of these like feminine looking makeup thing going. Like he's got, I think he's got like eyeshadow going here, like lipstick, and
Terry's showing me more pictures, man. It's not helping the situation.
Just one more. Look at that.
Oh my
wow.
God.
I'm not sure we want to put that one on, but
well, he just wrapped himself in duct tape.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. I am reminded of that gentleman, Richard Hernandez, that I've mentioned a couple times before, who transitioned from being a man to a woman, and then he transitioned from being a woman to a dragon.
Yeah.
So, like, he covered himself with tattoos, cut off his ears.
I think there's a reptile. Is that the reptile guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So,
a lot of people, changing into other...
What was this guy's name?
This is Vinny O.
Vinny O.
Yeah.
Pray for Vinny.
Yeah, wow. That's some crazy
some
stuff
crazy
there.
Stuff happening every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of that. One of the reasons I actually asked what his name was is because when you read articles like this, you need to be reminded that these are people.
Yeah, right. That's right.
This is a human being. Mm-hmm. And clearly there are things going on in people's worldview, mind, that are not good and not helpful. And you worry for them. And one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is the Human Project.
Yeah, the Human Project. For those of you who have been following us for some time, you know that we've produced the Thinking series a couple of years ago, or maybe 3 years ago. I don't know how long it's been, but 2-3 years, I think.
Three, 4 years ago, something like that.
Been that long, hey? But anyway, we produced this film project, and in this Thinking series, we had 5 sessions where we talked about life's five biggest questions, like, you know, what's the meaning of life? Does God exist? So on and so forth. And to learn more about that, you can go to thinkingseries.com.
We are continually amazed how it is being hosted all over the place.
Yeah.
Just the week before the conference, or the week of, it was being hosted in Ohio, Vancouver, Coquitlam, and Abbotsford, and now it's
Ottawa.
And Ottawa. I mean, just popping up all over the place. So if you actually are hosting it, make sure you let us know. Post it on, let us know, yeah, and we'll post it on our website.
Yeah. And Andy even went to jail for it.
What?
Yeah, I've been to prison a couple times now because of the Thinking Series. In fact, that I love posting that on social media. Oh, going to prison. I've a number of chaplains have run the Thinking Series in prison and will often have me come in and share. So I've had the privilege of sharing with guys in maximum security prison, medium, and
it's very well received there.
Very well received. In fact, I find that they often ask really challenging questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we're starting a new film project. We're going to start filming hopefully this summer, to be released next March in 2018.
Yeah, at the Apologetics Canada conference, right, will be our big launch.
So the format will follow exactly like the Thinking Series, where you have two videos per session. One video raises a question. The next video that's the teaching segment, and then in between we'll have discussions and things like that. But what we're going to do is tackle the question of basically what is human.
Yeah. From four different perspectives, and we're going to be using Genesis to do so. In that Genesis talking about God needing to be the source of the universe, life, relationship, and morality. These are the four big key themes of Genesis 1-3. Mm-hmm. Again, God's the source of the universe, life, relationship, and morality. And so we're going to be looking at what happens when you remove God then, and from the source of those things, and the necessity to put God back.
Yeah, and we'll be dealing with things like dehumanization and how we can help prevent it.
Yeah, preventing dehumanization. And then what is humanizing? You know, what is humanization? One of the things that we're finding is a lot of people can point out, both Christian and non-Christian, a lot of them can point out what is dehumanizing. What we're finding is no one's able to demonstrate what is humanizing. What does it mean when we're talking about a human? Now, Christians can do a better job than non-Christians on this, and with regards to talking about God and being made in God's image and those sorts of things. But we want to take that deeper. We want to give an even more robust argument for what is human from a Christian perspective.
Well, it kind of looks like we're going to have some Human Project swag pretty soon. Is that right?
I'm currently rocking a Human Project mug.
Okay, there's going to be keychains and underwear and
<We're>, you know, no underwear. No
underwear. Okay, no, I thought you were looking at that the other day.
Oh yeah. That was for a different project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thanks. For
I don't want to know what project this is.
That's actually a church project. Just something to know about too, though. That's great. Is Power to Change has come alongside Apologetics Canada on this. In fact, we had Rod Bergen, the president of Power to Change, at our Apologetics Canada conference, kicking off the conference in prayer, but also kicking it off in partnership, saying, you know what, we both, as organizations, we both value this and we both want to make this happen. So they're committing 50% of the finances to help us do this, which we are stoked about. And just as organizations, we're both putting our people to this. Because right now we're slated to film in Rwanda, Korea, Vancouver, and Portland, which is exciting. Yeah. So the project's coming together. Just a quick shout out there to those of you interested in this. We're still needing to raise about $35,000. We would love it if you'd want to financially partner with us in this. And the other thing you can partner with us is helping us develop the content. In May, the first 4 weeks of May on Thursday nights. Well, maybe I think there is only 4 weeks in May. Any rate, on Thursday nights, I'm going to be giving a lecture at Northview Community Church on the content of the Human Project, and I'm looking for feedback on how it goes. You know, how the content and the discussion and the discussion questions. So we won't have the videos obviously done, but it would give you an opportunity to give us some feedback.
Right on. So come on out,
we're going to give some directions on that. We'll give that online. Maybe they'll make that a part of the show notes, because the space is going to be limited. I have no doubt that that'll fill up. So we want people to register ahead of time. Don't just show up.
All right. Sounds good. Speaking of the Human Project, at the at this year's Apologetics Canada conference, I had a chance to, for the first time, I think.
Was this the first breakout session you did?
First breakout session.
Normally, you are running behind the scenes, man.
Terry has been a huge help because he picked up all the slack left behind by me, right? Because it was me last year who was running around, you know, putting the recorders on the speakers and making sure they were on, all that kind of stuff. Terry really saved my butt.
Yeah, man,
I left your speaker up to you, so I hope you got going on there.
Yeah, hopefully you didn't screw it up, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have my recordings. I made sure of it.
Man, you had a full house both times.
I was not expecting that. That was amazing. That.
Yeah.
Because when I first started the session, I started out by basically insulting my audience there. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? Do you know what other sessions there are?
Do you know we actually had that one year? We listen to these breakout session talks and edit them before we post them. Mm-hmm. And my favorite was a couple years ago, we had a guy by the name of Steve Tsai, and he did one on miracles. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he turned his back to the audience.
Yeah. Because he said, you know, I'm not going to lie, this stuff is going to be really hot and heavy. So, you know, if you want to walk out of here right now, I'm not going to be offended. In fact, I'm just going to turn around right now. So while my back is turned, you can just walk out so I won't hold it against you. And he did.
And then I think like one person walked out, but he turned around and he's like, wow, you're all still here. You know, I think he actually genuinely felt bad for them.
Yeah. And it was some pretty heavy stuff there. Yeah. And he teaches
that
the
man
stuff
knows how to do some heavy level. Lifting.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Really.
So you didn't
man.
Have any walkouts?
I didn't have any walkouts.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, you're right, Steve. I probably shouldn't be here.
Why am I here? See you later.
Yeah. And I even had some family members present, so that was really interesting.
Now, you spoke on the topic of Science Fiction Is Now.
Yeah, that was the title. Science Fiction Is Now, Biotechnology and the Human Challenge. And it was basically the same talk that I gave at the 21st Century Challenges to Christianity last November.
Yeah, that event went fantastic.
Fantastic. But the thing was, at that time, we didn't have quite enough time, so I only got through half of my material back then. And so this one was the kind of the full version of it. And I started off by talking about this baby that was born in Mexico that has three parents. And so basically what it is these two parents, they had this genetic history in their family such that there was a very high chance that the baby that would be born between them would have a very crippling neurological disorder called Leigh syndrome. And so what they did was they took some genetic material from the ovum of a donor woman, inserted it into the ovum of the mother, and then they fertilized the egg and the baby was born. And so technically this baby has three parents. I mean, it is exciting for lots of medical professionals, but it also raises a lot of concerns because, you know, what's the future, right?
Right. We know this is just the future of where things are headed.
Yeah. So basically what I told people at my session was, hey, look, I'm no expert here. I'm just a brother in Christ who's trying to figure this out for myself, but what I want to do is basically get you familiarized with some of the concerns and what are some things that are being discussed right now? What are some concerns, arguments, and things like that? And I pointed out a number of concerns, a couple from the societal level and a couple more from the personal level. And on the societal level, if you do some reading in this area, you recognize that there seems to be this link between human genetic modification and eugenics, right? Because what you're doing...
Of course. Now, let's explain. Eugenics is a Greek word meaning well-born.
Well-born. And so this was a very dark chapter in the medical history of the United States and other places like Germany, where certain people were not desirable such that they were sterilized so they couldn't reproduce anymore.
You know what's interesting about that is that eugenics got its start by Darwin's half-cousin, Francis Galton. And his desire, you know, he coined the phrase eugenics, and his desire in England was to actually have a registry, a marriage registry, and basically to, you know, systemize from a governmental level who could and could not marry based on their genetics.
Right. So then how this links to human genetic modification is that what we were trying to do with eugenics was trying to determine, okay, what are some of these genetic traits that we want that are desirable and not desirable? And so you're trying to...
Such as getting rid of mental illness or something right. like that. Or it could be sickle cell, for example.
Yeah, sickle cell disease. Yeah. And so then you're trying to figure out what are desirable traits, what are undesirable traits, and then you try to clean up the gene pool, so to speak, so that you only have the desirable traits. And then on this other side, with human genetic modification, you're doing the same thing. By editing human genes, you're saying, okay, what are some desirable traits, and we're going to keep that. The question is...
Well, let's just pause for a moment here, just to tease that out for a moment for those that are following with you. In the past, when you had guys like Davenport who were in the U.S. that were doing mass sterilization, the idea was, well, let's clean up the gene pool by, you know, not allowing these undesirables to, as you said, Steve, pollute the gene pool. Now, it's interesting, although we don't use the term eugenics anymore, it's being done, I think is what you're getting at here, is it's being done now in a different way. We just call this genetic modification.
Right, because you're still determining what are desirable traits and what are undesirable traits, and you're trying to clean out the gene pool, so to speak, of the undesirable traits.
You can do this with the child, right? Now, in the past, you're using breeding to do this, but now you can just open up the hood of the genetic code. Let's go in there and do some tinkering.
Yeah, and you can basically, especially with the CRISPR technology that being developed, you can basically edit human genome like you would a Word document, cut and paste here and there, that sort of a thing. And so then the question is, are we today in any better position to determine what's desirable and not desirable as we were back then?
Right, because now the same, you're dealing with the same eugenic questions. So what is the desirable trait you in the past you were breeding for? Now you're just going to change to. And this raises the question, and I don't know if you addressed this in your session, but now is normal good enough?
Right. That was definitely brought up because this sort of technology you might say, we can use it to just treat diseases and things like that. But I guarantee you this sort of thing is going to be used to enhance people, right? And not just treatment of diseases, but enhance – because the reason for that is we enhance ourselves all the time. We wear watches. We wear
– Glasses.
Glasses.
We shoes.
Wear clothes, right? That's a way of enhancing
ourselves. My down jacket.
That's right. Women put on makeup. You know, that's enhancement and all that kind of stuff. So then what's the difference between, for example, lifting weights and genetically modifying yourself? What's the difference between using that technology as opposed to ripping your muscles by lifting weights, making it repair itself so that you become stronger?
You know what's funny? So by the way, I think it's just important to mention here that this is what's meant by transhumanism. The idea there is just simply beyond human. And the idea then that's being used to justify what you're talking about, Steve, is basically to say, listen, this is just the trajectory of evolution. And that is that, you know, a lot of people have this assumption that evolution stopped when you got to people, you know, that this was the pinnacle of evolution. But that's not how evolution works. I mean, if it's true that is the... You know, what's going on here? Well, evolution doesn't stop. It continues to evolve, and people would just argue, well, that's what transhumanism is. We're evolving beyond human. And now what we've done is we are taking evolution into our own hands technologically. Right. And we're guiding, we are the guiding factor of evolution now, not natural selection. Mm-hmm. Now it's human selection.
Right.
So I, then, just, I just came up with that, by the way.
Nicely done.
TM.
But that's the sort of thing that will lead to what Terry was just talking about, right? That article that you brought up with this guy, you know, trying to basically turn himself into a genderless alien. We are going to be able to do that with things like genetic modification and other things like basically we can turn ourselves into cyborgs, right?
Well, it reminds me of that one movie slash book, Dr. So-and-so's Island. You guys remember what I'm talking about? Where they genetically mix animals, animal and human DNA to get these different hybrids.
Which, by the way, is
you got to Google that for me.
Okay.
By the way, that's being done right now, right? That just recently they created basically they infused a pig with some human genetic material.
I was just going to say because they can get pig hearts that are pretty close
so basically
to human,
they want to grow organs in these pigs that can be used for like heart transplants and all that kind of stuff.
I've been telling Terry for years he's got a pig heart, but. I mean, now I just got the scientific proof.
Yeah. The film I think you're thinking, The Island of Dr. Moreau?
Yeah, it's the one.
That's the one?
That's a good watch.
Yeah.
When I heard this talk initially at our 21st Century Challenges to Christianity, I mean, it really struck me at that time that this is not a bad thing, somewhat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
When I think of mental health, mental illness.
Or what about laser eye surgery?
Yeah.
You know, now you're just doing genetic eye surgery.
Yeah.
But I mean, it comes back to the question of who we are and how God made us. I mean, you know, I think about this mental health issue and I just kind of go, yes.
Because you have like firsthand experience with this.
I know a number of people that are struggling with this. Mm-hmm. And when I was sitting there that night, I was just like, yes, okay, let's go. You know, like I see the struggle that they have now, had now, and will have in the future.
Exactly.
So
it still raises some difficult, challenging questions though, because now, you know, dealing with certain mental illness is one thing, but what is the norm? That's the hard part. Well, what does it mean to fix it?
Right, because that's one challenge. I mean, I think you have a very good point, Terry, because I think one of the things that I talked about, the second half of my talk was about, okay, how do we try to navigate through this stuff? And one of the things that I talked about was the different worldviews. I said, okay, let's cast this issue against competing worldviews and see which one makes the best sense of this. And we talked about naturalism and how naturalism is basically this universally corrosive acid that doesn't leave any categories whatsoever. And so we basically end up with science without humanity. Mm-hmm. And we've seen what that does in the 20th century, right? Especially. And then there's the other extreme end, which is they just coined the term, I think. I don't know if this is a standard term, but environmentalist biocentrism. The idea basically is that nature is perfect as it is, don't mess with it. It's kind of like this Taoist kind of thing, right? Go with the nature, go with the flow kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then there's Christian theism, which I think can make best sense of this, I think. Namely that we live in a world that's affected by sin and suffering and things like that. And there is a place for technology to alleviate that effect of sin and suffering. But we have to do it in a responsible way because now you're doing that to people that have human dignity because they're made in the image of God. See, in these other worldviews, you can't make sense of human dignity except in just arbitrary ways. But in Christian theism, because in the Judeo-Christian worldview, because we're made in the image of God, we actually have a basis for human dignity on the basis of which we treat each other with respect. Because human dignity is not the same thing as treating people respecting people is not the same thing as human dignity. Human dignity is the basis on which you respect other people. And I think things like mental health issues, especially if it's genetic, you know, sickle cell disease and all these bone cancer, all these other things. Yes, there is a place in which we can use biotechnology to fix these things. Our challenge, though, is seeing the line, like drawing, being able to draw some meaningful line.
And who makes that decision?
Exactly. Right? That's another challenge. So you have to be able to draw a line in a meaningful way between enhancement and treatment of diseases. But the question is, just like you said, Terry, who gets to call the shot? Because APA, before American Psychological Association, in the past considered homosexuality, homosexual orientation, to be a disorder. They don't do that anymore. Same thing with transgenderism. They used to call it gender identity disorder. They call it gender dysphoria now. It's not considered a disorder. So who gets to call the shot? What's the norm? Right.
And what's the ultimate outcome that you're seeking? Because this is where I see the science of or the religion of science
right.
coming together is, well, when you're deciding, you know, who's calling the shots, but on what standard are they calling those shots? Because what I find is that we're living in a culture that has these utopian ideals, and they believe that their technology can achieve those ideals. And in that sense, the technology, the science becomes their religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that what we have then in that is a culture that has downplayed and misunderstands just how deep sin goes,
mm-hmm.
and the human potential for evil. And I think that that's really where the caution is coming, isn't it, Steve?
Yes.
Is that sin component and the human potential for evil.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is part of the concern too, is that for one, there can be intentional harm that's caused through biotechnology. In fact, just recently, we've seen the assassination of Kim Jong-nam, right, in Malaysia, the oldest half-brother of Kim Jong-un. And all the evidence seems to point to the fact that this was staged at a national level, ordered by the North Korean government to have him killed off and that sort of thing. And the weapon that was used was VX, right? This was this poison, like biochemical weapon that is banned. And so with biotechnology, what else are we going to create that will damage people? So that's the intentional side of it. Unintentionally,
by the way, it reminds me of the Nazis in their desire to create the Ubermen, right?
Yeah, Ubermensch, yeah. And then on the unintentional side, sure, we can heal, you know, sickle cell disease and mental health conditions and things like that. But what's scary about this is if something has changed at the germline level and there is some kind of a side effect, now that's the kind of thing that's going to get passed down the generations. And so suffering multiplies, right? So we have to be...
It reminds me of that movie. I keep mentioning movies, but...
watch a movie every night, right?
Interstellar is basing off this premise in the sense that and this is going on right now and it is scary, is food modification. Right. And we don't know the implications to the modifications we're making and how those get passed on and what that's going to do. Mm-hmm. And so you can raise the same argument, I think you're saying, Steve, that this can take place in the human genome.
Right.
Is there something that could, you know, we can create in us where I don't feel hunger anymore? Like, so I don't have to cook supper, lunch,
dinner. Here's my thing, Terry,
mm-hmm.
is... Forget the pig hearts and all the other stuff. Can we just figure out hair? Steve Kim's giving me an amen over there.
How to bring
amen.
It back.
Yeah, let's bring it back.
Okay, let's start
make hair
first.
Great again, shall we?
Bringing the hairy back. All right. We're out of time here right now, so unfortunately we'll have to wrap this up.
If you want to know more, though, if you want to hear more of Steve's talk, check it out. Digital download off the Apologetics Canada Conference. It's only $25. Lots of great material on there. You'll love it.
Yeah, you can go to apologeticscanada.com/store. If you don't see it there yet, it's because it's not ready yet. But as soon as it's ready, you'll be able to purchase it.
Oh, well, you can pre-purchase it.
Yeah, you can pre-order it.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up there. Thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada. It's a pleasure to serve you. We'll see you next week with more to think about.